Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Good morning, everybody. This is Issel and Louis on ESPN 680 105.7. I am one frustrated man right now, Louis. I've got to tell you.
Hi, Dan.
Can you hear me?
Oh, of course. How are you?
Well, I'm not good. We thought we had all of this lined up. I could hear the Diener show perfectly and got ready to go to our show, and it went messed up again. So I'm going to have to do it over the phone again, Louie. I'm sorry.
All right. I hear you. We'll get you figured out.
Okay. Oh. So where do we go from here, Louis?
I want to point out that I think Kentucky football has figured everything out because they fired their running back coach.
It was that unbelievable. of all of the problems Kentucky had, I would say their running game was closer to the bottom than the top. And the first guy to get cut is the running backs coach. What are we doing here?
Did you ever, and I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm a gentleman. Did you ever watch a show called The Chappelle Show?
I have never seen The Chappelle Show. I was sent a YouTube video of David talking about the guy that staged the fake hate crime.
The Jesse Smollett bit.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
That's very funny.
I have seen him do that, and I had tears running down my face.
Yeah,
but other than that, I have not seen a Chappelle Show.
He's one of the great comedians ever, certainly living comedians. And he, during Chappelle Show, it was a sketch comedy show. He did an episode that hypothesized what George W. Bush's presidency would have been like had he been black. So this was before Obama, before any of this stuff. And so the idea was, what would his presidency be like? How would he approach, you know, policy issues and different things if he had been black? And during part of it, he proposes, because the economy's bad and things are the war's not going well, that they're going to go to Mars. And everyone's like, well, why are you going to Mars? He's like, oh, Mars, you know, space exploration, the United States of space. And it's this ploy. It's this look over here while everything's on fire over here. And that's what this is. That's what this is. You fire the running back coach who had nothing to do with anything going wrong. And you blame, you know, the ills of the team on this guy. Look over here. We're making changes in the spot where you don't need to make changes.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's a great point. And you had another great point yesterday. You are totally convinced that...
Oh, I think via text message, yeah.
Yeah, that Levis is not playing in the bowl game. And the more I read into this, I hope it's not true, but I'm tending to agree with you. And what was... You texted me yesterday, and it was hilarious that he's not going to make the announcement until after their bowl game commitment. So that was a great point as well.
Well, and you and I have a substantial bet on that outcome as well. So I'm feeling better and better about that bet as well. So,
yeah, no, I think you're right.
I think the kid wants, I think generally speaking, Will Levis wants to play football. I don't think it's that at all, again. But I do think at some point you have to think about draft status, especially if the rumors about him are true that he's got a shot at the first or second round. Like, that is something he just has to go do.
Well, you're right. I just hate that this – I mean, if this is the way that we're going, because I made the statement yesterday, without Will Levis, I don't care what bowl they play in and who they play – The latest, I guess, is the Music City Bowl. Didn't we just play Iowa last year?
Yes.
Yeah. The discussion now is that it's the Music City Bowl against Iowa again, and Iowa is pitiful. But if Levis doesn't play, Iowa wins that game. So if we're moving in this direction, if this is the way we're going, that if all of these good players are not going to play in bowl games, then I think you do away with all of the bowl games except you go to 12 or 16 in the championship playoffs and forget about all these other bowl games. I mean, if the best players aren't going to play, why play
them? It certainly devalues them. I don't disagree with that. I do think it allows you to play other guys, to have that practice time with other guys. And I think especially for, say, if you're a Miami, Ohio, if you're a Northern Illinois and you go 6-6, 7-5, for guys at that level, it's actually and to be the only game on TV, it's actually a pretty significant reward.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly not going to watch any of them. I mean, I might watch the I might watch the regular big ones, the Rose and the Orange and some of those Big Six, but I'm not. There's no way I'm watching some of these, you know, 20-25 bowl games with teams that, you know, were 7-5 during the regular season.
Yeah, no, I get it. You won't, but millions of people watch these lower level bowls. Millions.
Yeah.
It is. There's a reason ESPN pays all that money for it. People watch football. So, but your point isn't without merit, because I do think that if a guy like Levis doesn't play, for example, for Kentucky, man, they're just not as attractive a product, and it's not going to be as good a product. I'm with you. So it's a tough balancing act. You can go ahead and curse the name of Christian McCaffrey, but it's just the reality, unfortunately. So,
yeah, I was reading something. I guess he has to share the blame with Leonard Fournette.
Fournette
and Christian, they were the first two to do it. I guess Fournette was a running back with LSU. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess they have to share the blame. We can't heap it all on McCaffrey.
Yeah, we can blame Christian McCaffrey. I'm fine with that.
but you know, I was looking. You know, this transfer portal has made. I mean, if you don't have a bunch of kids going in the transfer portal, and you can get impact players out of the portal,
right?
I mean, that can change your program overnight. It's almost like if the NFL had free agency, Louie, without a salary cap.
Right, yeah.
You know, where they could just go in and everybody that's a free agent, and of course in the NFL, it's not everybody, it's only the players that are at the end of their contract. In college, it's everybody.
Right.
Everybody's a free agent, and you can go get as many of them as you want. And really, the recruiting kind of comes secondary, because, you know, if you like, I know Kentucky had a great freshman incoming class this year, and some of them really lived up to the hype. But you know, in most cases, you got to wait around a year or two for these young players to develop. With the transfer portal, you can go out and remake. You can have a new starter at every position if you could talk the young men into coming to your school. It's just wild, and I don't see that it ever levels out, Louie. What's going to change What's going to happen that changes all of this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what the eventual outcome of it is either. Excuse me, but I do. I think many things come along like this, and we just assume it's going to be chaos forever. And at some point, something comes in and becomes a stabilizing force. What that is, I have no idea. But I do believe at some point it will stabilize, just because, I don't know. I think we thought when, you know, we allowed transfers at all, that every kid would transfer. And, I mean, at many schools, you don't see a huge epidemic of it. I do think that it'll level off at some point. I'm not, like I said, I'm not at all sure what that mechanism is that will help it to level off. But, you know, maybe, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's a, I don't know. I don't know where it levels off. But what do you think Will Levis's legacy is at Kentucky? What do you think Levis's legacy is at Kentucky? Does he have one?
I don't think he goes down as one of the all-time best quarterbacks at Kentucky. I think he's probably in the conversation. I don't think he comes close to Tim Couch or Babe Parilli or any of those. I think his legacy is he came in here and he played with a few good playmakers. I mean, you would have to put Wandell Robinson and Chris Rodriguez in there. He played behind a great offensive line that put three players in the NFL, and that he had a really good season. You know, I think that's his legacy. It was a comet that burned across the sky very brightly and then went dim very quickly. So, you know, he's probably, and this shouldn't have anything to do with his legacy at Kentucky, Louis, but it probably will hinge on how successful he is in the NFL. I mean, if he becomes a really good NFL quarterback, people are going to go back and say, wow, he was one of the best quarterbacks Kentucky ever had.
That's fair.
And I think when you look at the pure stats, it doesn't prove that out.
Yeah, I would say, so if we're doing Kentucky football quarterback talk, George Blanda, right?
Yep.
Tim Couch, Babe Parilli, like you mentioned. Jared Lorenzen's got to be on that list, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just because he was so unique.
But, I mean, the numbers, too, right? I mean, the guy, you know, slinging it all over. Andre Woodson's got to be on that list, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Just trying to think. I think those would be my top five. I don't know what order. But, yeah, I think that would be the top five guys. And I don't think Levis is in that class. I agree with you.
Well, so. No. I would agree with that. And, you know, but it's all... It's all relevant. I mean, and recency. I mean, you know, you stop a 30-year-old guy on the street and say, "Who's the best quarterback that Kentucky's ever had?" And that guy's never heard of Babe Parilli. And I would argue, I mean, Babe Parilli finished second in the Heisman voting.
Yeah, sure.
And he won a Sugar Bowl. So I think you could make a huge argument that Babe Parilli was the best quarterback that ever played at Kentucky.
Yeah, he graduated college in 1952, so it's been a minute.
I got to know later in life. I got to know Babe a little bit. I actually went to Babe's funeral. But he was an interesting guy. You talk about a guy that was on scholarship his whole life. That was Babe Parilli, and you know, up until the last few years when he was sick, he would play in every golf tournament that would invite him around the country, even at that age. So he was an interesting guy. I have an autographed picture from Babe Parilli that says, "Dan, to the second best athlete that ever played at Kentucky."
What a signature. It's amazing.
Oh. Babe Parilli.
By the way, I think if your nickname is Babe, like, it's understood that you don't pay for stuff, right? Like, if that's your nickname, you're on a free ticket forever, right? I mean, that's just how it goes.
And I read his book.
He died very recently, by the way.
Yeah. And, well, I guess 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, 2017, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but he wrote a book, and how he got to Kentucky was unbelievable. He's from somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Rochester, Pennsylvania, yep.
Yeah, and he actually, Kentucky was recruiting a teammate of his, and they sent him a train ticket to come to Kentucky, and the guy told the coaches, he said, "Well, I've got a good friend I want to bring with me," and they said, "Okay." And so Babe just went to Kentucky, and in those days, Louis, they had out and out tryouts. I mean, you know, they put shoulder pads on you and put you in a scrimmage. And so Babe, he wasn't even supposed to make the visit. He tries out, and they say, "Wow, we got a quarterback here." And that's how he wound up at Kentucky.
We're getting a vote on the text line, UPS Jobs text line, 437-9680 for Derek. For Derek Ramsey from the 70s. Another good one. I played a long time in the NFL as well. It's a good nomination there as well. Played out in Oakland, of course, and then with the Patriots and Lions after that. But then worked. Do you know what he did after that? Do you know what he did most recently in a very public way?
Yes, he was. He was at Kentucky State. Was he the president or the athletic director?
You know, he was the athletic director at Coppin State from 2008 to 2015. He was on the board of trustees. Is he still on the board of trustees at UK? Actually, don't know. But he worked as the secretary of education and workforce development in the state of Kentucky under Governor Bevins.
Why did I think he was at Kentucky State? Somebody was at Kentucky State that played it.
I'm sure that's true. But yeah, so there you go, coming down the text line. So second best UK team ever, the texture says. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Well, at least we got John Settle out of there. That'll help us going forward.
Yeah, thanks for ruining everything, John. Jeez.
Yeah, the running back coach.
What
can you imagine, Louis? You know, I've said it several times. I mean, Chris Rodriguez, he might be the best running back in the country to gain the yards he gained behind that offensive line. You know, but can you imagine anybody else that ran the ball behind that offensive line? They were lucky if they got a yard or two. Can you imagine being the running back coach, having your backs behind that offensive line? That had to be excruciating.
By the way, he was Paul Christ's running back coach at Wisconsin from 2015 to 2020. They had some pretty good running teams. It might not be the old running back coach. Just a hunch. That guy's gonna have a big time job this fall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just a hunch. Babe Parilli. Did you know him in Colorado?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Because he retired out there.
No.
I don't know. So.
No. Okay. No.
Is Parker far from your house?
Parker's a suburb. We're in Highlands Ranch, which is directly south, and Parker would be southeast. But yeah, I mean, it's all Denver. But yeah, to get to downtown Parker from where I am right now, it's probably 15 minutes.
So did you get your letter from me that I sent last Thursday?
I did not.
Has it gotten there yet? Man, it takes forever to mail anything from you to me. It's ridiculous. Oh, man.
It's ridiculous, and I don't know. I mean, some things that I mail get to people, and it really doesn't seem to have anything to do with the distance.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, some things I mail get to people 2 days, and some things it's a week. So I don't know.
I recently had to have my CPA stop mailing me things because our neighborhood lost its letter carrier. And I got documents for quarterly returns like 2 days after the quarter. And I was like, So literally, I have a handwritten note next to all these checks going to governmental agencies. Hi, the government didn't have anyone delivering mail to our neighborhood. Please don't fine me for lack of government. And so that was a very frustrating time. But yeah, no, it's very hard to know when those things are going to arrive. But it's in the mail, my friend. I put your unit number and everything, so it should definitely.
Okay. Well, it actually snowed here overnight.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even know if we went and got the mail yesterday.
Got it.
Man. We have one of those community because it's a townhome.
Yeah.
We have one of those. They don't deliver the mail to the door. You know, it's one of those neighborhood mailboxes. So you have to walk away. So I'm not motivated a lot of days to go get the mail.
So Mark Story, who is a native Kentuckian, a graduate of North Hardin High School, and a graduate of the University of Kentucky, wrote an article in the Herald Leader. I feel like I have to mention that every single time I talk about Mark Story. That opened with, for decades, Kentucky's football paradigm was that in the bad seasons, Kentucky would win two or three games, while in the good years, UK would win six or seven. If you start every article like that, it sets up a very specific narrative about the team that doesn't have to be true anymore. And if I were a Kentucky football fan, it would enrage me that every single article that he writes talks about when he was at North Hardin High School, like that long ago. Because that's how far back you have to go for Mark Stoops to not have been the coach there. He's been there first. It's like his fourth president or something. I mean, like, we need to stop.
Don't you think, Louis, don't you think sometimes, and I mean, you know, we shouldn't pick on newspaper writers because they're just like us. You know, we can say something stupid and 2 days later, you know, there's no
say the opposite. Yeah, right.
Nobody holds us accountable. And but don't you think when you write an article, and it begins with, given his total body of work, I don't have a problem with giving Mark Stoops $9 million a year. Don't you think every subsequent article, it has to have something in there that kind of points to,
fair enough,
you know, he's not great, but he's a whole lot better than what we used to have.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's, you're probably right about that, unfortunately. But I just, you know, in the article that he quotes Stoops as saying, I just had it. You quote, you have to really look at things and make sure we're growing and moving the program to where we all want it to be. I got to get into work tomorrow and really take a look at things and see where we are and go from there. That's great. And what I hope he's doing is he's starting from right now, 10 years into his tenure, rather than where Mark Story started the article. Herald Leader, Kentucky.com/sports. I just, at some point, man, we have to stop. We have to start. The guy makes more. The guy makes as much money as Nick Saban. And I'm not saying that's the standard, but I can't hear about, you know, what the 80s were like for Kentucky football. I mean, this is literally, this would be like starting Kentucky basketball articles. Like, oh, you know, no, it's okay that they lost to Michigan State and Gonzaga because in the 1930s, the team was really bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, hopefully he's right. But I think if you're going to look at a program has to have, it might have a plateau every once in a while, Louis, but the general direction has to be ascending. And I think the Kentucky program, I mean, you can dress it up as all you want, but when you look at the statistics, they were 3-5 in the SEC. The worst teams in the SEC were 2-6. Mm. I mean, it's just it was, in my mind, it was a real step backward for Kentucky football this year, given the schedule. They had 8 home games. You know, they didn't. They had to play Georgia, but Tennessee, as we talked about yesterday, Tennessee and South Carolina have gone right past Kentucky football.
That's the worst. No, yep, that's the worst part of the season. Yep.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And so Stoops does have a lot of work to do. I mean, you know, they just, the Herald Leader also has started kind of a transfer portal list, and there's two wide receivers that didn't play very much that are already in it, and they will, you know, Monday is when you can officially go in the transfer portal. If I was Stoops, I'd have five or six of those freshmen living in my basement, because you can't tell me that a program like Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State or Michigan isn't going to try to contact Barry and Brown. So, I mean, he does have a lot of work to do. It'll be interesting to see what the roster looks like at the end of the transfer portal.
Yeah, or by the way, you know, Barry and Brown from, I don't know, Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know, maybe Tennessee might look at him. I don't know. It's its own thing to figure out there. But yeah, no, I will be interested in the portal. But look, John Settle's not coming back. Problem solved. 10-2 next year. Mark it down. I mean, they got rid of the problem, Dan. They got rid of the problem. All right, hey, let's head to break here and see if we can't get you reconnected, right?
Okay. All right. Hey, a reminder that this hour of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
All right, welcome back in. 10 o'clock hour. Issel and Louis hanging out with you on a Tuesday here on 680-1057. UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. Keep those coming. Reminder, some of that, a ton of basketball tonight. Louisville's back in action. They host Maryland. That'll be at 7 on 93.9, pregame at 5:30. Postgame, of course, as well with Ethan Moore. You can hear him be very angry about a loss to Maryland. And then Bellarmine is playing at Kentucky. It's their first big game of the year. They haven't really been anywhere else. They finally travel to a real arena here on 680-1057. That's Doug Ormay and Mark Bugs. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off. That was a dripping with sarcasm, and I apologize, Scotty D, if you're listening. And then, of course, James Strable, 9:15-ish, for the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show. All that here on 680-1057 and on the app. So check all that tonight.
Did you, Louis, did you see the article about Bellarmine's schedule
No.
There have only been four teams in the history of college basketball that have played road games in Cameron Indoor Stadium, Pauley Pavilion, UCLA, and Rupp Arena. Only four teams in the history of basketball have played in those three arenas. They are Louisville, North Carolina, St. John's, and Notre Dame. and now Bellarmine's going to do it in 9 days.
I was going to say in a week and a half. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. So finishing up the conversation from last segment. So two things. First thing, Will Levis's legacy is that he's a weirdo. It's the mayonnaise in the coffee, and it's eating bananas with the peel
skins on.
That's the thong picture in the pool. That's his legacy. He's a weird guy, right? And he's got an attractive girlfriend. The second part is, and this comes on the text line 437-9680. Thanks for joining us on the text line. Stoops, according to the texture, big money coach, but a mediocre one. It's like me drinking champagne on a beer drinker's dime. He's peaked at UK, and they should have gone to a different coach for less money who could actually make the playoff. So this person talks about Deion Sanders, and he talks about Luke Fickell. That is actually the second part there is very interesting. So Mark Stoops essentially is going to be making about $1 million more than Luke Fickell will at Wisconsin.
Right.
But my expectations for Luke Fickell at Wisconsin are considerably higher than my expectations for Stoops at Kentucky.
Don't you think?
Now,
yeah.
Now, part of that is situational for sure. League and you know, program and programmatically, like there's been success at Wisconsin at a very, very high level prior to the arrival of Luke Fickell. Whereas with Mark Stoops, and look, credit where credit's due, he's building something that frankly wasn't there since Bear Bryant, right? I mean, like it was not a program of the quality that he's made it. Even a guy like Rich Brooks never got to the levels that Mark Stoops got to.
Right.
But it is an interesting thing that, I'll ask you, Dan, I mean, because it's just an open-ended question. Would you rather have Mark Stoops for the next 5 years or would you rather have Luke Fickell for the next 5 years at Kentucky?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know because I don't know that Luke Fickell will be able to go more than 500 in the SEC at Kentucky. But, you know, as long as there are divisions, Louis, and we are, Kentucky is having to play Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, and eventually Florida every year. You know, I don't know. I don't know who could succeed in that situation.
Sure.
I don't know if.
And that's a fair point, by the way. I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, given this contract, and it's a shame that it always comes down to money, but, you know, when you pay guys this kind of money, I mean, like Russell Wilson is absolutely getting destroyed. not anymore on just a Denver or regional level. He's getting destroyed nationally.
I agree.
On how bad he is, how much money he makes, and how much they had to give up to get him. Do you know that Seattle gets Denver's first-round pick this year? I mean, it could be like the third or fourth pick in the draft.
That's true.
and Russell Wilson can't complete a pass 20 yards down the field. I mean, it's just. But I'm afraid that's what's going to happen here. I don't think that Kentucky is ever going to be. I mean, somebody said it a couple of weeks ago. They have reached the top rung of the middle of the SEC. And I don't see him going any higher on that level. And so a year from now, 2 years from now, are people going to start saying, you know, we're paying Stoops how much? Mm. But and I don't know. It was one of two things. It was either that he has Capiluto and Barnhart so buffaloed that they were afraid he was going to go someplace else, or if they just think that it's all right to pay a guy $9 million who's going to be 500 in the SEC.
Right.
You know, it has to be one of those two.
Yeah, I think it's what I've been saying the last couple of weeks. I'm sure people are tired of it if they listen all the time. Is that it's purely economic. They know the stadium's full and that people are bought into what he's doing, and they are contented with the prospect of winning 10 games.
That's a legitimate argument, Louie, and I agree with that. But Kentucky fans are pretty resilient. I mean, they were drawing people. They were drawing people when they were winning three or four games a year. And I know it's big money now, and the ticket prices and the television. I think you could get a guy that could put people in the stands for a lot less than $9 million.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's an interesting conversation. I don't know. It's also a moot conversation because he's going nowhere, right? I mean, that's really what's been solidified this season is that Barnhart is all in on him, and there's massive reciprocity there. It's just going nowhere.
You know, I've been thinking and reading about this thing, Louie, and you
does
know
it, does who, it does it hurt, Dan?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry. It's not what I want for you, Dan. All the thinking. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Oh man. Hey, I don't have a lucrative second career like you do. I mean, this is all I got.
So I'm doing radio in a necktie today, Dan, because I got to drive out to see a client.
There you go. Okay, yeah. There you go. Well, keep selling that insurance because I'd hate to lose you.
You get it.
But you know who has been Mr. Teflon in all of this, who's making a $1 million a year?
Big dog.
As an assistant coach?
Big dog.
Vince Morrow.
Yeah, big dog.
We haven't heard his name mentioned at all. And this is, he's not the defensive coordinator. He's not the offensive coordinator. He's the recruiting guru. And he's making $1 million a year, you know. So some of these freshmen better stay, and some of these freshmen better step up. That's for sure.
There you go. All right. Well, he's Dan Issel. I'm Louis Rabeau, hanging out with you until noon. V Show got you then. First Take at 3. Like we mentioned, all that basketball tonight. Bellarmine at UK. Somebody wanted to know on the text line. Is there a at what point in the season is it okay to have the question on the U of L side, Dan, if Kenny was the right hire or not? Or does he literally just get carte blanche pass this year?
I think it's how you look at it. Are you going to blame Kenny for the team's performance? And I say no. I say no because there is no talent on this team. There's not one person on this team that's going to smell the NBA. Not one. And so,
can I give you a for instance, though, before you go any further?
Sure.
We watched Sidney Curry for 5-6 games last year transform into a very competent college player. Yes?
Yes.
Does Payne bear any of the responsibility for him not looking like that early in the season? That's a for instance. That's, I think, like the kind of question the texter would ask. Like, you know, the win total, does that matter? But is there a thing about, for example, and I'm using, you know, Sid Curry on purpose. This is a captain. This is a senior, right? This is a guy who showed the flashes last year. You know, Payne's hired. They talk about him being a big man whisperer. Does he bear any of the brunt of him, quote, I mean, first part, being out of shape? And by the way, Diener told a great story. I forget who the player was, but Joby Hall had the guy like people stationed outside his dorm, and he was having people like sneak pizzas in through his window. Do you know what player that was?
It was probably Mel Turpin.
That's it. Yep, that's it. Yep.
Dinner bell Mel. Last time I saw Melvin, he was north of 400. Maybe the 100th anniversary of Kentucky basketball or something, but they had a whole bunch of us come back, and almost everybody, you know, had on a sport coat. Some of the guys had on ties. Melvin had on this white furry warm-up suit. He looked like a polar bear.
Like the Soul Train Mafia or something. Yeah, right. That's great. Oh,
but yeah, I'm sure that's who it was.
Yeah,
sure it was Mel Turpin. But yeah, you're right. I'd love to see, you know how they do, you know, the diet companies have before and after pictures.
Yeah, right.
I'd love to see a picture of Curry at the end of last year, and beside a picture of what he looks like now. I think we would be shocked at the difference and how much heavier he is, and theoretically how much out of shape he is. That's a good point. The point I was making is, if you want to blame the coaching for this team, you know, that's your prerogative, but there is no talent on this team.
But
if you want to blame Kenny for not upgrading the talent, and I'm a huge Payne supporter. He's a good man.
You're a flag bearer for him.
He's a good man, and I still believe he's going to get this turned around. The most disappointment I have with Kenny is that he knew, he had to know, that this roster was terrible. And he did, outside of Huntley Brinkley, he did nothing to improve this roster.
All right, so I'm going to ask you on air, even though I don't want to ask you on air. The Huntley Brinkley thing, you're doing that on purpose, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we do have some.
What you think? I really don't know what his name is.
I wonder once in a while if you do.
I was going to go Hatfield McCoy.
Yeah, that's not as funny.
I was going to go
Huntley
Brinkley McCoy.
Better. Huntley Brinkley's
but,
better.
But yeah. But I went. I chose to go Huntley Brinkley.
You know, this is a text coming out of the text line, and I think there's a camp that believes this part too. So we had the first question, you know, hey, I asked, you know, this question, you know, about, you know, is there a bottom for wins? For you, obviously there isn't. They can go 2-28, and for you, that's a roster thing, not a Kenny thing, yeah?
Yeah, I just explained the roster's terrible.
Right.
Kenny, if you're going to hold him accountable for anything, it has to be that he didn't improve this roster.
Okay. Texter saying Kenny didn't want to, so Coach Payne did not want to bring in recruits or transfers into a program that had a chance to be banned for a year. He'll get players next season. And for this year's players, they were bad last year and they're still bad this year. I would like to believe the Texter that he's going to get players for next year. But the recruiting class says otherwise. And that would be the thing I would worry about, is that we're told recruiting, developing big men, great guy, you know, all these things. Like, those are the strengths of hiring a guy like Kenny Payne. At some point, though, you have to see the guy show up on campus or on the rolls. Now, to be further, to give him another chance, you know, the example's been brought up a couple times around here recently, and I'm glad people are doing it. LSU hired the Murray State coach, and he had one scholarship player when he got there, and they are undefeated to this point in the season because of guys he went and got in the transfer portal. So what that says is, maybe with the cloud of IARP stuff and whatever else, maybe that is the thing that Payne and company, all the guys on that bench, can go do and get for next year. I hope the texter's right, because I'd rather talk about that than what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Like, not a question.
Right.
I want to be very clear about that. But my expectations for this team are very low. If the texter's asking me, is there a win total where we ask if there's the thing? So can you get some of the sound up for me, Avery, here? And Diener played a good sound this morning. I kind of want to get back to it because I'd like you to hear it. Let's try five. I don't know if this is the actual clip here, but this is the things he wants to improve on. He talked a little bit about what they're trying in practice, Dan, so I'm hoping it's this clip.
What I'm really trying to do is get them to understand how to play together. When a guy's open, hit him with a pass. In practices, we've been working on 9-10 passes without a dribble. Move the ball. Now let's get into an offensive set. Why would I do that? I want guys comfortable knowing, against pressure, I can square up, face you, make a pass, throw it to the outside hand. He can catch the ball, square up. He can find somebody open and make 10 passes. Now let's get into a set so that we become a better passing team. That's one part of it. The other part of it is patience, poise, spacing. Don't get out of control. Don't play too fast in the post where you're driving into traps. So we know in Hawaii, teams trapped us from the baseline side. Well, why would we ever spin baseline? We know they're trapping that way. Makes no sense. So having the patience to play that way, and this is new for these guys, and we're learning as we go. So those two areas for me, spacing, limit the turnovers, that could help us tremendously, just that right there. And a lot of the turnovers, I hate to say it, it's not on the defense. It's us. It's self-inflicted.
So Drew's been, you know, critical of some of the in-game coaching and some of those things, but even he said this morning, that's the kind of response he's been hoping for, which was, this is what we're working on, and this is why we're working on it. And I think this goes to your point, which is he's not just like going to practice and like, hey, guys, go take a bunch of free throws or something, right? Like, he actually is trying to come up with freaking solutions to whatever it is that is ailing them. Are you surprised to hear that he's having to do that, Dan, or does it just make sense watching the team?
No, it makes sense. It makes sense watching the game. The first part of it about the passing, I would say that's all good. I understand it. And you know, moving the ball and moving yourself is always a good thing. But the bottom line is, once you get an open shot, you have to make it. And that, to me, that's the biggest problem he's got. I do like the back end, because remember, Louis, I said last week, this team looks to me like they're playing awfully, awfully tight. And there's an old saying, go quick, but don't go fast. And by that, I mean, you don't have to just throw the ball up at the basket because you got the ball in the low post. That would be going fast. What you do is you decide what you're going to do, and then you do it quickly.
Right.
And I think that's what the problem he has with his big men right now is, they act like as soon as they catch the ball, they've got to get it up to the backboard. Mm. And they're missing, I mean, 5-footers that aren't hitting the rim. And that's confidence. Pressure. It's a lot of different things. And I don't see that getting any better.
Yeah. So, that is the part where you can coach them and you can see the, improvement. But if the talent simply isn't there, it doesn't matter if you hit the open guy because he's going to miss the open shot.
Exactly.
But I do want to one more thing. I think basketball fans around here know their stuff enough that if they at least see that, they'll go, okay, there's development happening here. These guys just can't shoot. Right? Like when I coached little kids, I never got mad at them for taking a smart shot and missing. Right? Like if they're open, take the shot.
Yeah.
You're just 9, so you can't make the shot, right? Like, it's fine. But no one's right in front of you. No one's, you're inside of 10 feet or something. Like, yeah, take the shot. That makes sense. I imagine that fans around here will get frustrated that guys are missing shots. But as long as they're trying something, as long as they're working an offense, whatever it might be, I think people will they'll get past that.
Yeah. Another thing that I've thought about, Louis, is that Louisville might have to lower their expectations a little bit as far as the recruiting is concerned. Don't go after the Aaron Bradshaws and the DJ Wagners and the AJ Johnsons when that gets out there that you're talking to these kids. And then when they go elsewhere, that even adds to the frustration. And believe me, these kids, these 18, 19-year-old kids, they don't care that Louisville has won 3 national championships or whatever they've won. What they care about is recent history. And they're looking at a team that was terrible last year, that's going to be terrible this year. And, the 5-star recruit big names aren't going to go to schools like that. So Kenny and his staff, they might have to get guys in here that are 4 stars or even 3 stars and start building the program that way. But if you're just going to start throwing 5-star names out there and you have no chance of signing them, I think that also adds to the fans' frustration.
Yeah, I do think that he has a legitimate opportunity to be considerably better in the transfer portal than he is getting high school recruits.
Yes. So, yeah, no question about
it. I think that's where they have to go concentrate, at least for, I mean, obviously for next year, but I mean, maybe for the foreseeable future. So, I mean, that's easy to say whatever, but I think that's where they're going to have to live in those waters for a while. What do you expect tonight against Maryland?
I don't know. I don't know.
Maryland hasn't played away from home yet.
That's my point. They haven't played away from home yet, and they really haven't played anybody.
Great.
I mean, I guess you could say Miami was a legitimate school. The rest of these schools, I mean, Binghamton, you know, they haven't played anybody. So, you know, they're 13-point favorites. I expect Maryland to win the game. But, you know, it could be closer than people think.
Picks without Pat, what would you play here?
At 13?
Yes.
At 13, I'd bet on Louisville.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, that game tonight, of course, at 7, it's on ESPN2. But if you are driving around or whatever it might be, of course, all of your coverage for all U of L sports on 93.9. Make sure you check that out. Reminder, too, that the women's team, huge game Wednesday. They will host Ohio State Big Ten ACC Challenge for the final time, 7 p.m. Join Nick Curran for that coverage. Tip-off at 7:30. All of that on 93.9. They're actually even doing a post-game show for that one because it's such a big game. Biggest Biscuit, Dave Skull and Chrissy Banta for the post-game show on Wednesday night. After the game, all of that on 93.9. Check all of that out. Over there, reminder, the first hour of the show brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Tourism and KentuckyTourism.com. Make sure that when you're planning one of those getaways or maybe just a weekend trip in Kentucky, you check out our friends over there. They literally have a link at the top called Plan Your Visit, and it helps you put together either a road trip or something else around the Commonwealth. Bourbon, horses, outdoors, music, culture, maybe a culinary experience. Check all of it out at KentuckyTourism.com. It is True Crime Tuesday. We're not there yet, though. Next, we talk about the top of the CFP and what we expect of college football. That's here on 680-1057.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.